Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Welcome back. Good morning to those all online. Let's dance our praise and worship together. We serve a great God. We serve a mighty Father. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
We worship you, worship I. glorious God.
Glory, glory, Lord.
Oh, we give you glory.
We give you glory.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. You are worthy of all the praise, Lord. We worship and honor you. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, Father God. We worship your name. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands to him. We praise you, Lord. We honor you this morning. We glorify your name. Alpha and Omega, we worship you. Father, we honor you. We worship you, Lord. For you are holy.
Yeah. You are holy, Lord. We give you praise. We worship you. Be magnified, Father. All that we do in this place today, that your exalted name, O God, will be exalted in every realm. We are thankful for the grace of access. We are thankful, Lord, O God, that you have the final say. And your thoughts concerning us, O God, are wonderful. They are beautiful. And we come with thanksgiving just to say, Lord, it is an honor, a privilege to speak your name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. We bless your holy name, Yeshua. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's good to have you all here today in the house of the Lord, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Thank God for every one of you. The Lord will meet us here today. I promise you, the Lord will meet you here today. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. There was a wonderful, wonderful concert here, the Praise Explosion last night. This place was just rocking. Everything was shaking. And we had a wonderful time. If you missed it, I don't know what you are doing. I encourage you not to miss the next one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Sherry, you have an announcement today? No? Okay. I want you to turn with me just briefly to the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. And starting from the 19th verse. It says here, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Read that last verse with me. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't know if you got the message. Yes, God is talking about giving. And today is the last Sunday of the month, which means this is Missions Sunday. It's a Sunday where we give over and above what we will normally give, because we want to sow into missions. But this is what I want you to see. Beyond that, the Word of God says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, the previous verses tell us where we should lay our treasures and why we should lay our treasures there. It says, treasures that are in heaven cannot be corrupted. The moth nor rust can't corrupt it. Why? It is in the heavens. And secondly, thieves cannot break in and steal that treasure. Did you get that? No corruption by moth or rust, and thieves cannot steal it. Because the treasure is where? In heaven. But if your treasure is in the earth, it can be corrupted by moth, by rust, and thieves can steal it. But this is the clincher. If your heart is where your treasure is, then the only time that your heart cannot be corrupted is when it is where your treasure is. Did you get that? If you are a Christian, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. But your heart is not where your treasure is, which is an impossibility. Because the Word of God tells you where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So it is impossible for your heart to be separated from your treasure. Am I right? Am I right? Yeah? Okay. Your heart cannot be separated from your treasure. That's what Jesus, our Lord, said. Do you know that in all of Scripture, we do not see or hear Jesus preaching a lot? But here we hear him preaching. From Matthew 5 right through to 7 is the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us, your treasure and your heart abide in the same place. If your treasure and your heart is earthly, and all you're looking at is earthly things, and you're not laying up treasures in heaven, your heart will be corrupted. You will be deceived. You will fall away. You will become cold. You will become defeated. Period. So, you better put your treasure where your heart is supposed to be, which is in the heavens, and your heart will be where it is in the heavens, where it cannot be stolen. Because if the enemy steals your treasure, he also steals your heart. If he corrupts your treasures, your heart will be corrupted. So, when you don't give and lay up treasures in the heavens, and all you're thinking about is earthly things, which you are not going to live here with. Amen? It will be corrupted. So guarantee that you are not going to be a backsliding, defeated, corrupted, heart stolen and broken. Oh, he stole my heart. If the enemy steals your heart, he breaks it. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. If the enemy steals your heart, he will break it. If you fall in love with the world, your heart will be broken because your heart will not be satisfied. There is only one satisfaction. It is in the Lord. Don't miss that message. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If that's all you heard today, you've heard more than enough. But that's not all you're going to hear today. Hallelujah. Mama is going to come up in just a moment. But before she comes, I want you to listen to this missions video. On the 3rd, we're going to be having a crusade, a virtual crusade, to a nation. And we're expecting no less than anywhere from 100 to 200,000 people in a community where the gospel, the true gospel, has not been preached for 75 years. We are going to be penetrating that territory with the everlasting word of the Lord, just like the Lord promised many years ago, that we're going to be reaching realms, places, standing in this place. In October, we're going to be going to a nation physically, but this 3rd, it's going to be virtual. And we will be on a big screen in a big stadium preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. I want you to believe God with me that we will have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people healed, delivered, set free, but above all saved. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, good day, everybody.
Amen. I bless you in Jesus' name.
For the rest of you, you know what to do. Stretch your hands towards the children. Father, we thank you for all our children, all our teachers, biological children, spiritual children, extended family, partners all over the world, friends and relatives. We commit them before you, Almighty God. Heal, restore, and make them whole. Everyone from age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, walking the earth, every decade of life, touch every one of them in the mighty name of Jesus. You are their portion in the land of the living. Lord, strengthen them. Whatever challenges they are going through, bring solutions to them in the name of Jesus. And may they yield to your spirit. And may your spirit override every other spirit in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, God bless you, children. Now, when you go to your class today, there's lots of plants there. Please don't play with the plants. No basketball there today. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's continue in our prayer. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of knowledge. Spirit of understanding. Amen. Spirit of counsel.
Hallelujah.
Spirit of might. Spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And all your spirit, which is your holy word, we receive you into our lives, into our church, our homes, our city, our nation, in this service. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Well, you heard some scripture already this morning, so we're going to just read some part, and the rest of you, and the rest you finish at home on your own time. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the Hallmark of Faith, but we won't read all of it. Yeah, 40 verses, so I will not be reading all. We start from verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. I can't even hear your mouth moving. You're not even reading. So that's why this part of the service of me reading scriptures to you is going to come to an end very soon. You need to say the word back to yourself. You cannot be taught that over and over. You can do that for yourself. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. May you please God and not continue to please man. May you please God. Enoch was not just translated. He was translated because he pleased God. Nothing just happened in the Bible. It happens because you have done something that pleased God. May your life please God.
Amen.
May my life please God.
Amen.
Don't be an eye service person. Pleasing man, please God. It's okay to please man, but the most important person is God. He's the most important person in your life. Every other thing will fail you and disappoint you and hurt you and break you. But the only one that will never fail you is God. God never fails.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Well, Gerald, it's good to see you. Welcome back. All right, I'll read to verse 6 and I'm going to stop. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. God rewards, and he's going to reward every one of us. May he reward you with good and not judgment. In Jesus' name, we shall all have what we sow. May we reap good harvest. In Jesus' name, rise with me and let us pray. Father, we give you praise. We magnify and glorify your holy name. You are the only true God. You see the hearts of men. You see all our hearts. You don't only look at our outward man, you look at our inward man. So wherever we are flawed today, we surrender them to you, that you will cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus. Cleanse us with your holy word. Cleanse us with your water. That we will have a pure heart towards you. That we will serve you authentically. That we are not doing whatever we feel like whenever we feel like. But we are pleasing you. We ask, oh God, that you genuinely touch us. We genuinely surrender to you. If you want to surrender to the Lord this morning, say, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my mind to you. I surrender my thoughts to you. I surrender my actions to you. In Jesus' name. Lord, we bless your holy name because we know you have heard us. So we receive your mercy. And we receive the power of faith. We receive great faith. Faith that pleases you. Faith that is able to translate a man. Just walking with you just got translated. Because all he did every day of his life was pleasing you. Made a decision to please you. May we make decision to please you.
Yes.
Please the Father 24/7.
Amen.
Whatever we are doing, may our heart be pure before you.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every spirit that is not of you, we command to leave.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every tormenting spirit, go.
In Jesus,
every lying spirit, go. Every unfaithful spirit, go. Every spirit that does not know God, live in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Only by your spirit can we call and say, Jesus is Lord. Can somebody say, Jesus is Lord?
Jesus is Lord.
So we do have the spirit of God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Say, Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Now we speak, we pray over Jerusalem. Peace to Jerusalem. Peace within her walls and her palaces. Peace to the people of Jerusalem. Peace to the nation of Israel. Peace, peace, peace. Remember your everlasting covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember your promises, which are yes and amen. Out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. Israel, your glory. Israel, the apple of your eye. Israel, carved in the palm of your hand. Israel, your firstborn. So we bless your holy name. We receive that same blessing now for Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, and all the nations of the earth, west and the islands of the seas, and all First Nations where someone is calling upon the name of the Lord. Because of that one, save, save, save. Because of Abraham, you were able to save Lot and his family. Save, save, Savior. Savior, Savior. Save your people, Lord. Save our relatives, our friends, even our enemies. In Jesus' name. Lord, move in the service this morning. Heal your people. Restore them. Make them whole. Let the word come with power, with grace, with favor and mercy. Let your truth come forth. And let the word not just go out and fall to the wayside, but let it fall in a good heart. That there will be good seeds. Let our hearts be transformed. And let our lives magnify your name. We thank you for miracles. We thank you for answers. We thank you for solutions. We thank you that the impossible has become possible. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thanks. This morning, I want you to believe God for a supernatural experience. As we were worshiping this morning, and I'm not going to give you all the details, I felt a tap on my left shoulder, hand resting on my shoulder. I thought Mama was touching me, so I looked sideways. But she was worshiping, she wasn't touching me. And I said, Lord, you're touching me and I didn't hear anything. You're trying to say something to me. What is it? And I kept quiet before the Lord for a brief moment. And he told me what it was all about. I'm not going to tell you what he said, but I want you to know that whatever it is that God does for me, those that are in covenant, he will do for you. Amen? And I expect that today that God will do something extraordinary for every one of us. Hallelujah. For we are in covenant with the Most High God. And he has great thoughts concerning us. A few months ago, the Lord began to speak to me about the message I'm about to share with you today. But I wasn't certain when it was that he wanted me to pronounce this word over us as his people. But today is the day. Hallelujah. Someone say, today is the day. So tighten your seat belts and let's go for the ride. Amen. In the book of Acts, the 12th chapter, the Bible says that Herod had stretched his hands out to vex certain of the church. I want you to notice that. Vex certain of the church. Meaning, not everybody. But particular people. But why particular people? Because when you strike the shepherd, you can scatter the sheep. And so the enemy is very strategic in whatever it is that he does. He doesn't come after everybody. He comes after particular people that are of importance. That will mean that he will come after those that are leaders in the body. That's why we need to pray for our leaders at all times. We expect leaders to pray for us. But in actuality, you should spend more time praying for your leaders. Because your security and your stability is very connected to the leaders that God has placed over you. Did you get that? So they were certain that the enemy, Herod, stretched out his hands to go after. He wanted to shut them down. And the Bible says that Herod killed James, the brother of John. He went after him and he killed him with a sword. Interesting. The Bible tells us that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That is on one hand. But so it is also true that the sword of the enemy is the word of the enemy. And so it's interesting that this chapter is going to end with Herod speaking, and they said, he speaks like a god. And God sent a strike force after him, and he was consumed by worms. Because all the devil is worms and corruption. Somebody listening. John, James is attacked. He's killed with a sword physically. Yes. But before that sword came down, it was because words were being spoken. And the Bible says then, because he saw it, that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now, who is James? James is a man who followed after the calling that Jesus gave to Peter. He was the number two guy. And that's why we miss it sometimes, that the enemy comes after the number two person. And we say, okay, we're still okay, we're still okay. No, but when he has gone after the number two person and you don't stand your ground, he will come after the number one. It's always a strategy of the enemy. And so he sees that it pleased the Jews. And we might miss this. It says, he proceeded further to take Peter also, but then the Bible puts in brackets, then were the days of unleavened bread. Why is that important? Because it's a time of the Passion. Is a time, about the time where Jesus Christ had been crucified. And so the enemy wants to revisit and say, I am still in control. And this is how the enemy works. He will come at you at particular times. And some of you may have experienced it. You come into a particular day in the month, in a particular year. And every year, at about the same time, the same thing happens. Something bad happens. It's because the enemy drip, 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 brings you to a place where he doesn't have to cause the drip to come. But you, knowing that it normally happens at this time, you're ready, all scared. He set you up. He's reined your mind to expect disaster. One of my siblings had an attack, and every year at about the same time, this attack will come on her. You lose something very important. And this date was coming, and she cried out. She said, I am petrified because it's going to happen again. And I said to her, I said, no, it's not. We're going to put a stop to it right now. This lying spirit that wants you to think that you are going to embrace another pain, this enemy must be cut off. That was about, 15, 20 years ago. We cut it off, and it's not happened. But for years, decades, it was her story. It had been happening for years. Today I declare by the authority of the word of God that every agenda of the enemy against you to subdue you and subject you to pain and defeat, that those workings of darkness cease immediately by the authority of the word of God. If you receive it, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Herod was trying to be the hero. In fact, his name means heroic, Herod. That's what that name means. The enemy always has some hero that he brings to try to bring pain. But that enemy is defeated in Jesus' mighty name. It says, and when he had apprehended, when he had apprehended him, he went after Peter, and when he had apprehended him, the word is piazzo, he sought him out. He captured him. He put him in prison, and he delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. A quaternion is four. So four quaternions is 16 for one guy. Why is he doing this? Because I'm sure he'd heard it. They'd put Peter in prison before to stop preaching the gospel. And when the prisoners came, Peter was out of there in the synagogue preaching. Hey, this guy, we got to lock him down. But the devil's a liar. It doesn't matter whether it's four quaternions or a billion. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is that the enemy has purposed shall not come to pass. He's put there intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, Easter is used here based on how the world looked at Easter. Easter is not our Christian language because ours is about the resurrection day. Amen? Now, we've embraced the word Easter, but it came out of Herod's setting, the way they looked at life. That's why you see with Easter, you have bunnies giving birth to eggs and all kinds of crazy stuff because it was connected to a pagan religion. Hallelujah. But at the same time of Easter is when Jesus rose again from the dead. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison. He was kept in prison, but prayer was being made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They were doing the right thing. They're taking James, and now they've taken Peter, and now the church is awakened, and they are praying. They're crying out to God for a miracle, for God to protect him. It's amazing that they were praying this prayer, but somewhere in their heart, they didn't expect that it was going to be answered. But they prayed fervently. It's amazing you can pray without ceasing, and you do and showcase all the semblance of faith and not be in faith. So this was happening. He says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, the night before Herod was going to bring him out to kill him, The Bible says the same night Peter was sleeping. Praise the Lord. Someone said Peter was sleeping. I can imagine that he was busy snoring. Yeah, that's Peter, all right. The guy is so deep in sleep, snoring away. But tomorrow is going to be his day of death. But his rest was in the Lord. Not worrying and fretting about the imminent death that was going to face him. What reason did he have to believe that he was going to get out of this? James had been killed. Jesus was hung on the cross. So, let me just relax and go to sleep. Tomorrow I die. So he's busy snoring, enjoying his sleep. And there are two soldiers with him. I pity those soldiers that day, you know, trying to sleep with Peter snoring away. And he's bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. So there's two with them, and there's 14 other people out. There's two out there, and they have set up to make sure nobody comes to get Peter out of that place. But no matter how many blockades the enemy puts to make sure that you don't go free, it doesn't matter. When God wants to set you free, you will be free indeed. Somebody shout hallelujah. The devil's a liar. I am certain that the enemy of our soul is confused beyond measure, because whatever it is he tries to do isn't working. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, landed on him. And the guy still didn't wake up. The Bible says, and a light shined in the prison. And he still did not wake up. So the angel smote him. Smack. Smote Peter on the side. And Peter is still sleeping. Because the word of God says, and he raised him up. This is how deep in sleep, deep in rest, Peter was. Raised him up and says to him, listen, we've been wasting time here. I've tried everything, light, everything. Light works. You didn't wake up. Landed on you. You didn't wake up. Smacked you. You didn't wake up. Now we're running late. Get up. We gotta leave like now. Hey, angel, what is the rush? You have all the power. No, when it is time, it is time. And I declare this day in the name of Jesus Christ that you and I will not miss the timing of God. That somehow God will put supernatural speed inside of us so that we move quickly at the fullness of time. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody says, speedify. Speedify. Amen. Say it again. Speedify. Speedify. One more time. Speedify. God grant me supernatural speed. Get up. Arise up quickly. And the Bible says, and his chains fell from his hands. All the chains falling off. The man gets up, and the Bible says, they walked out. The angel says unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. So he did. Gird thyself. The Bible says that we are girded with the belt of truth. If you're going to experience deliverance, it happens because you put on the belt of truth. He says, put on your sandals. The Bible tells us that we have the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's our footwear. And on this Mission Sunday, I want to declare to every one of us, let's put on that belt of truth and let's put on the shoes of preaching the gospel. The feet of those who preach the gospel are beautiful, the word of God says. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, and so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee. Put on the garment of righteousness. Recognize that God has declared you righteous. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Today, put that grace on your life. I am righteous. Some say, I am righteous. Say it again, I am righteous. In the mighty name of Jesus, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the belt of truth, and my feet are shod with the sandals of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he put on those garments. And the Bible says, and he went out. Huh? The angel came down. And when the angel came down, the prison doors opened up. You must link up with God. The prison doors opened. I declare today that everyone that's been stuck behind prison doors, that the prison doors open now, because the angel of the Lord has come to touch you right where you are. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come out of your prison. Come out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, the word of the Lord says, the Spirit of God is upon me. Why? Because he's anointed me to preach good tidings. There's a reason for the Spirit of God coming upon you. In Luke 4:18, he says to preach the gospel to the poor. Here in Isaiah, he says to preach the gospel to the meek. But I want you to see this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because, someone said because, the Lord hath anointed me. It is the anointing that attracts the Spirit of the Lord. What is the Spirit of the Lord? The Spirit of the Lord, the Word of God says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When the anointing of God is resting upon, saying to the saints last Friday, it's like Velcro. One side of the Velcro is resting upon you called the anointing. And then the word of God, the Spirit of God comes and attaches itself. Without the anointing, the word of God will be irrelevant in your life. We must ask for that anointing of God. That anointing came about because the Lord Jesus Christ was crushed for our deliverance. So because of what Jesus Christ did, the word of God can come and stick with you and abide with you. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. God sets the captives free. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. It says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. The word of God declares to us our freedom. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah 49 and verse 24, sometimes the enemy may have a right to you because of whatever it is that you may have done. But the word of God says in Isaiah 49, beginning to read from verse 24, it says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? In other words, lawfully, you should be a captive. You broke the law. You sold your soul to the enemy. You got involved and engaged with the wrong things. And the enemy has you, and you are a lawful captive. But God's word says, but thus said the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered, for I will contend. Somebody say, I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Rise up with me and prophesy. Say with me, the Lord, my God, is my father and my fighter, my deliverer. He will, even now, contend with him that contendeth with me, and he will save me and my entire household. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Do you believe it? Then receive it in Jesus' name. Say, I receive it. Amen. You may be seated. God says, I will contend with that which contends with you. Even if the contender has a right to you because of the mistakes that you've made and you've become a lawful captive, God says, I'm going to wipe your slate clean. I'm going to scrub your file. And I'm going to come and get you out. And nobody will be able to find any files on you. Hallelujah. I'm going to mess with them that are messing with you. Praise the Lord. Anything messing with my purpose, with my destiny, God has committed himself to go against that so that my mess becomes my message, my test becomes my testimony. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Back to Acts chapter 12. The Bible says, they came out. They're walking. He's free. And they go past the first ward, which will be part of the continuum. They go past the second, and they come. The Bible says, I want you to watch this. It says, and when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate. They came unto what? The iron gate that leadeth into the city. Did you hear that? The iron gate leads where? Into the city. That tells me that he was in prison outside the city. Did you get that? Don't get too happy yet, because we're coming closer. He's outside the city, and as they approach the gate opens up by itself. It opens up, and they walk in, and Peter still is not awake. He still thinks he's dreaming. It says, and when they were past that first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. Wait a minute. And they went out. How can they go out when they went in? Are you with me? Stay with me. They came into the city, but the Bible says they went out. They went out of what? They went out of that dimension of limitation that kept them out of the city. Rise with me once again. I want you to say with me, gates of Winnipeg, open! One more time. Gates of Winnipeg. Open. I'm getting out of the dimension of limitation and imprisonment. No longer a captive. No longer a prey. I step into my destiny in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The word of God says, lift up your doors, your gates, eternal gates, challenging gates, lift up, because the Lord is coming through. Amen? You everlasting doors, whatever it is that the enemy has purposed and thinks he can hold on to, today, by the authority of God, victory is established for every one of us. The enemy may challenge God's will for your life, but he is forever destined to fail with every attempt. Hallelujah. In Psalm 24, beginning to read from about verse 7, the word of God says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. But the enemy will always want to challenge. He says, who is this King of glory? The response, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. What host is he Lord of? The host in heaven and the host in the earth. When heaven and earth agree, come into agreement, nothing can stand in the way. So rise with me again. And I want you to declare out of your mouth, Most High God, as the host in the earth, we come in conjunction and agreement with the host in heaven to rout out the enemy. This day, the kingdom of heaven and your kingdom in the earth are in unity, in agreement, in alignment, and no force can stop the host of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Be seated. The Bible tells us a story. David had gone against the Philistines, and he defeated them. But they came back to fight again. David went to the Lord and he says, what should I do? Should I go after them now? And God says, no, calm down. I want you to do something different. What should I do? He says, I want you to watch those mulberry trees. And when you see movement on those mulberry trees, that's the time. That's your cue to move. So David and his forces were watching the mulberry tree. And all of a sudden, this movement. I asked the Lord, I said, why were you asking David to watch out for the mulberry trees? He said, because I was sending my landing force, the host from above. I say, yikes. Wow. God is sending his forces. I was in an area in the Philippines called Palawan, doing a crusade there. And The day before the crusade, I was in my hotel room, asleep, and I saw a vision. I saw these interesting blue lights. It was not a color that I can describe to you. And they were landing in an area just some distance away. And I said to the Lord, I said, "What are those things?" And his response was, "Those are the angels landing to assist you in the crusade." Hallelujah. God sent angelic forces to assist. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God sends forces to assist you and I. And when this man of God, Peter, needed to be free, God sent an angel. Praise the Lord. And now he's come and the doors are open and he's stepping from one dimension into another. All of the doors were being opened just so easily. He's going through situations and he still thinks he's sleeping. And he comes through this iron gate. And as he steps through, the Bible says something. The Bible says Peter came to himself. And he says, "Now I know of a surety. I know for a fact that the Lord had sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Whatever it is that they were expecting me to die, they were expecting me to fail, they were expecting me to falter, they were expecting me not to pay my bills, they were expecting me to just fall down and die. But their expectation has come with a big bang of disappointment. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say with me, "My enemies will be disappointed. Their plans will fail, but God's will for my life shall prosper." Hallelujah. 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 Amen. He says, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John." This is John Mark, whose son's name was Mark. "Where many were gathered together praying." This was the prayer center. Peter did not know it. Hello? Peter was in prison. He didn't know that anybody was praying for him. Because when they took James, he and the rest of them were not praying anything. So how is it that he found a place of prayer? Because when you are led by the Spirit of God, you will connect with those that God is using to bring about your release. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. When God brought you here, he did not bring you here by accident. Your name may not have been known, but somebody was praying for you before you got here. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said somebody's been praying for you. So he comes. And for the first time, a door is not open. I wonder. He gets there, the people are praying, and the man begins to knock. boom, 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 boom. It's knocking. Nobody's coming. He keeps on knocking. And there comes a young lady called Rhoda. The name Rhoda means rose. She comes, she hears Peter, and instead of opening the door, she takes off and goes and tells the people that are praying, "Your prayer has been answered. Peter is here." And they said, "Get out of here. There's no Peter here." So why were you praying? Why on that God 7 were you praying? Peter is not here. And then they decided, maybe it is his ghost. Maybe he's dead already. Because you cannot be a ghost if you're not dead. He's dead. He's finished. No, it's not. And Peter keeps on knocking. The Bible says, but Peter continued knocking. And I think they figured it out afterwards. A ghost cannot be knocking. How can a ghost be knocking? Let's go check this out. And when they had opened the door, and saw him, they were astonished. The question I want to ask, why wasn't this last door opened? Why didn't it open on its own accord? And Peter just stepped in. Because, child of God, in the manifestation of your miracle, there are certain things that God will do for you and I. But as you come to the end of it, God is going to expect you to keep on knocking for your breakthrough. Somebody listening. Don't get weary when you come to that last door. Everything has been happening. Oh, this miracle. I didn't even pray, and this happened, and that person came. But to wrap it up, why is this still here? It's been easy until here. And guess where it was hard? Surprise, surprise. It was the place where they were praying. It doesn't make any sense. But the word of God calls us to stay in the place until there is a manifestation. Too many people give up too quickly. It's so hard. Nothing is happening. And God says, did you hear somebody come to the door? Yeah, but then they didn't open the door. It must not be the right door. No, 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 no. I remember many years ago, the Lord told me to tell a young man where his job was. Go to such and such a place. You're going to be employed there. He didn't go for a while. He finally went. They didn't accept his application and came back and said, "Didn't accept my application. I don't think so. I don't think you heard from God." Do you know till this very day, every time I drive by that particular business, the Lord reminds me that the guy's job is still there? This is about 15 years going to 20 years later. His job is still there. He's still busy doing, finishing off some stuff. When he finally leaves this plane and stands before God, he'll find out, I had a job for you at that place. Who knows where he would have been in that particular business? That company is still there till this day, next to Costco, before Costco came. On St. James, the place is still there. That's where his job is. And he did not keep on knocking. You keep on, not, when God says this, there is something here, you stay with it until you extract it. Some things can be mined in the surface. Some things you need to dig deep to get it out of it. My prayer is that you'll be able to identify every time where that place is that God has assigned you to, and you keep at it until you get the results that you are ordained and destined to get out of it. You don't shake yourself out of it. You just, and Gosha, it's just going to come out and keep on coming out. Hallelujah. The more you pull out of it, the more it's giving out. Because there is no stay nor stopping when you don't stop. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A woman came to the prophet and said, you know what? My husband was faithful and served with you. He's dead. And we are in debt. We're broke. And they want to come and take my children as payment. In other words, enslave them, imprison them. I don't know what to do. And the man of God says to her, what do you have in your house? And she says, I guess I have some little pot of oil. That's it. Just a pot of oil. The man of God says to her, you know what? Go into your neighborhood. Borrow as many vessels as you can find. Not a few. Just get as many as you can. Bring it into your house. Shut the door with your children and take from what you've got and start pouring it into every pot that you bring into your house. And so she did. She kept on pouring. Pour, that one's full. And she pours into the next one, that is full. And she pours into the next one, and that is full. And she pours into the next one, that is full. It didn't matter what the size was. Whether it was a small vessel or a humongous vessel, it didn't matter. As long as she had the oil in her hand and kept on pouring, the oil kept on pouring until she poured into the very last one that she brought. And then the Bible says, and the oil stayed. So her miracle was based on the amount of opportunity she gave God. Your miracle is based on how much you are going to believe. The pot might be people around you. Say, please come. Come join me in the closet. The Bible says when you pray, it says step into your closet and close the door. Sometimes it's people that God brings into your life and you say, come, I need you. I need your prayer support. Come, 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 come. And as many of you that are there, God will pour the oil of his anointing. He will take off the spirit. The Bible says he took off the spirit that was on Elijah and put it on Elisha. But it became double. May God take off his spirit and pour into us, every single one of us, so that we accomplish the will of God in the earth as it is in heaven. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. We must learn how to receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But I knock once, knock again, and knock again, and knock again. The Bible says Peter continued knocking. Is that not what the Word of God said? He continued. Knock. 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 How many times did I say knock? And nobody knocked. Knock. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Knock. A few months ago, I believe it was in March, I had been seeking for a visa to go into a particular country, and it's been about 2 months and there's no response. It should take a week. You should hear right away. No response. It was time for me to go. Meetings were set. But nothing. And I was here, standing here, teaching the Bible study, I believe it was. And I was looking at the passage found there in Matthew. The Lord says, ask. You're going to receive, seek, and you're going to find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And I heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord said to me, what is missing in that last statement? I said, it doesn't say, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. He said, that's right. Knock at whatever it is that you want to open and it will open to you. And so I knocked. I called the name of the nation and I knocked. I called it. I said, open to me. 2 or 3 days later, my visa showed up. Actually, I think it might have been the next day because I got it by email. There was my visa. They denied everybody. They actually sent a response to one of the persons that I was going to take with me. It says, we know you're trying to go there to do missions work, so apply as a missionary. Mine was obvious. I had bishop and everything, every detail, the name of the church. It was obvious. But I get it. So I told my son, I said, guess what? You should learn to knock. I just learned it. Knock. Whatever it is that is standing in your way from receiving what God says is yours, knock at it. Open. Hallelujah. 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 It must open to you because it is the commitment of God as a promise to you to bring you into the fullness that only He can manifest in your life. Amen? Do you receive this word? Then shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. We're going to honor God. Our treasures are in the heavens, and our heart is there also. My heart is not being, it's not going to be corrupted. As we said earlier, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. If you lay up treasures in the earth, it will be corrupted, it will rust, and it will be stolen. But if you lay your treasures in the heavens, there is no corruption, no moth there to destroy it, and no thief there to steal it. But the remarkable statement, as we learned earlier, is that where your heart is, your treasure is. And where your treasure is, your heart will be. And if your treasure is corruptible, then your heart will be corruptible. Doesn't matter how long you've been in church. When it's time to honor God with our giving, we must come to Him and surrender our gifts in faith. And something I shared with you last week, when you come and you release that offering, that tithe, that vow, that first fruit, whatever it is that you're releasing unto the Lord, make that statement, Lord, my God, speak for me. Amen? Speak for me. Father, speak for me. When you release that offering, say that. That's an instruction I got from the Lord for you and for me. Father, speak for me. What is He going to speak? The Word of God says He will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's come. Let's honor God with our giving. Speak for every one of us. Bring us into a place of supernatural wealth. But of course, this wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. And the wealth and riches that God has put inside of you be manifest. May God bring resources into your life because you treasure Him and His divine purposes. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This time I'm going to ask Mama to come. Share in communion together. If you have not received your communion elements, this will be the time for you to raise your hand and somebody will come to you. While we're getting ready for this, please be reminded that on July the 15th, we are going to be having a block party together to minister to our neighborhood. Please be present to assist in every way possible. So we minister to the souls that God has accorded us by His grace to reach out to. Amen. Hallelujah. After we finish communion, I will ask what I want to ask next. Rise with me for a moment. This is the body of the Lord. And the word of God says that when we take of this body and we eat of it, we should do it in remembrance of Him. The word of God says we must not take it unworthily. When the word of God says taking it unworthily, it's referencing some particular aspects, especially the area of forgiveness and unforgiveness. You must remind yourself that you are forgiven of the Lord. And if you hold anything against anyone, you must free them from those limitations so that you can enjoy the manifold blessings of the Lord in a powerful, glorious way. Amen? So give you a moment. If there's anything that is in there that needs to go, let it go. And let the freedom that Christ gives take a hold of your heart and your life. Don't treasure those things that will corrupt. Treasure those things that will continually release the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your body. The body that releases healing, deliverance, prosperity, favor. The body that enriches us. The body that causes us to come into fullness. The fullness of your divine purpose. Thank you, Lord, that as we take of this body, everything that is not of you, everything that you've not planted in our lives, Lord, oh God, that it will be uprooted, and that the planting of divine favor, the goodness of the Lord, will now take root without any competition from anything else. In Jesus' mighty name, we take and eat in remembrance of you, Lord. Amen. Take and eat.
Cup of blessing. May the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and add no sorrow be in our lives. May every sorrow and grief be removed, every sin and every destructive thing. Take and be blessed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to cut off from the rest of the world at this time, except for those that are on Zoom and on our website. You may be seated for a quick moment.